You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Now, I've been doing a dangerous thing. I've been reading a little T.D. Jakes this week. Oh. So if a little of that T.D. Jakes comes out of me, you know, just forgive me. But there's a couple things I was reading that just jumped at me, and I thought, man, I've got to preach on that and embellish it and own it, you know, and just, but I got to give him credit. So a couple things I'm going to minister on, not really I got from T.D. Jakes. You know, all of us stand on the shoulders of giants. There's nobody that's original. Don't think you are. Don't think, you know, I am. I read a lot and study a lot. I heard a lot of ministers, and, you know, and I just take what comes alive to me and minister it. Like Brother Osteen used to say, you know, when I hear somebody say something, I get up and say it and give them credit for it. Second time I'll get up and say, well, you know, like they always say. And then third time I get up and say it, I say like I always say. Kind of claim it after that third time, are you with me? It's not that we plagiarize, we just don't remember where we heard everything after a while. Sweet. But all of us have heard everything we know from somewhere and somebody. But I was meditating on this, and in fact, I don't even think I want to go to that verse. Turn to Genesis 32. Let's start there. That'll be a good one. Yeah, in the beginning, it'd be a good place to start, first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We'll talk about Jacob for a minute here, if I'm in the right chapter. Yeah. This is the account where Jacob, you know, Jacob was the son of Isaac. Isaac was the son of Abraham. Abraham's who God made the promise to of eternal life or righteousness. We're recipients of that promise. I think that's so cool. You know, he imputed righteousness to him by faith. Now, he wasn't righteous when he walked the earth. He didn't get it till Jesus rose from the dead, because nobody's righteous until Jesus rose from the dead. But the promise that he made to Abraham was long before Moses, long before the law of Moses. You're not going to get to heaven by being good and just by being nice and kind. You should be good, nice, and kind. But that's not going to get you to heaven. You're not going to get to heaven by works. You're not going to get to heaven by the law, by keeping the law of Moses. That was kind of interim between the promise he made with Abraham and then the fulfillment of it in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Only way to heaven through Jesus. Jesus made it real plain. He said, I'm the way, truth, life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, if you have a problem with that, you have to talk to God about that. I didn't say that. He said it.
That's right.
And I'm not telling you that you have to have Jesus to go to heaven. Jesus is telling you that. And I believe Jesus, and so you have to take that with him. But I know Jesus loves everybody. And Jesus wants to save Muslims, and he wants to save lost people, and he wants to save everybody. Right. Anybody calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
But what you find there is, you know, these men through the Old Testament did the best they could, and even in the New Testament, none of us are perfect except God. You see a lot of the mistakes they made and the sins they did. And then you see them have encounters with God. That's what's so cool. You know, when you go through there, you see them, all of a sudden they encounter God. You know, Moses' encounter with God changed his life. He was 80 years old when he had finally had an encounter with God. Sad, well, it took that long, you know. And Abraham had an encounter with God. And here's Jacob, and Jacob was pretty old at this point. He was probably in his 90s. He was definitely in his 90s at this time, because he was leaving the north. You know, he had deceived his brother and deceived his father and stolen the birthright that his brother Esau should have gotten. And for fear of what he'd done, he knew he'd messed up. He ran up north and stayed up there for 20 years. And he married Leah and Rachel and started having a lot of kids who eventually became the tribes of Israel. But on his way back, because he deceived his father-in-law again, because he was just a deceiver. That's what the word Jacob means, a schemer and a scammer, a con man, as it were. You know, he was always scheming and scamming. And the problem with Jacob is he really didn't know who he was. I really believe that. I don't think we really know who we are. Are you out there? Mm-hmm. That's why we do all the things we do. That's why we mess up. That's why we need to get to God. That's why we need to have an encounter with God. And so on his way back, he's coming back and he hears his brother Esau's going to meet him after 20 years, and he's afraid his brother's going to kill him because he took his birthright and all this. And so he sends his wives ahead of him and all of his kids ahead of him. I don't understand that. I'd sound pretty cowardly to me. Put the women out front. Well, it's kind of like Romania. I think it was Walt was saying he went to Romania. And he said, why do all the women walk out front? He said, because the women are real subservient, you know, and the men are macho men. He said, I notice when we walk around, you got your women out front. What's the deal? And the guy says, landmines. Anyway, kind of cowardly, but I mean, this is a kind of cowardly story, too, when you hear about Jacob. But Jacob was left alone. He sent them all ahead, and he stayed on one side of the river, Jabbok, and he had an encounter with God. A man appeared to him, and he wrestled with him all night long. It's an amazing story, because really, it says it was God. I don't understand how you could wrestle with God. But it says he saw the face of God, he wrestled with God, and he prevailed. Now, that's just what the Scripture says. I don't know what your theology is. If you want to argue about that, go right ahead. You'll have to argue with somebody else. I won't argue with you. I just believe what the Bible says here, and that's pretty much solves it for me. But in wrestling with him, this 32nd chapter of Genesis, y'all found it? In wrestling with him, this 24th verse, then Jacob was left alone. I think that's significant. There are times that you do need to get alone, get away from the crowd, away even from your... Now, I'm not saying leave your wife and kids, stay with me. I'm just saying you need to have a personal relationship with God. You need to have time to pray. You need to seek His face. You need to get alone. You know, I remember when I got saved, 1975, you know, I had a history of drugs and jails, and I got saved, and man, I'm telling you, I'd just get off in a closet. I didn't know God from a hole in the ground. I'd gotten saved, and I really was born again, but I didn't know anything about the Bible, and my mind was not the sharpest that it should have been, you know, at that time, because I'd done a lot of drugs. My memory wasn't real good. I couldn't remember telephone numbers and names and things like that, and so I didn't know God was going to call me to teach. I had no idea. I didn't have the background for that. Got kicked out of high school in the 10th grade, and you know, working as a laborer on a construction job in Houston, Texas. But I'd get alone in my closet, you know, and I had a little card table. We had this card table. I stuck it in the corner of the closet, and I got my Bible out, and I began to read. Everything was good to me. Everything was new to me. You know, I didn't know where anything was, and it was all stuff I hadn't read and didn't know. And so I'd underline, and I'd write verses down, and I, that's so good. And I had a stack of index cards. And I'd write on those index cards those scriptures, and I'd stick them on the wall. You know, I'd have them all over the wall. The closet was full of them. Those cards all over the wall. But that time with God changed me. It changed me, completely changed me. Amen. Where I used to be hooked on other things, now I'm hooked on the Word. I'm hooked on God. I want to know Him. I want to find out what this is all about, what's happened to me, what changed me, you know. And so I just went in whole hog, as we say in Texas, and you know, I think you get in life what you pursue with a passion, whatever it is. You can have more of God if you want more of God. You can get more of Him. He's there. He's available. He didn't go anywhere. Are you out there? If you want to know Him, you can know Him. If you want to know Him more, you can know Him more. It's all a matter of focus and passion and, you know, it's what's priority. Well, finally, Jacob, it's just amazing. He finally gets alone here, you know, and he's wrestling. He's wrestling with God. Man, he's concerned about his life. He's concerned about getting killed by his brother, which didn't happen. He's concerned about his future, and he's wrestling all night long, 24th verse. Then Jacob was left alone, and the man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, Jacob's hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. He recognized this as either an angel of God or the presence of God, and he was determined to get a blessing. So he said to him, what's your name? And he said, Jacob. That's what everybody always called me, was Jacob. I've been a schemer and scammer all my life. I scammed my daddy. I scammed my brother. I scammed my father-in-law. Hello. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's what everybody calls me. That's what I call myself. He said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you struggled with God and with men, and you prevailed. Now, I think there's something deeper here. I think what he was telling him was, you know what? You don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. And until you have an encounter with God, you'll never find out who you're supposed to be, who you really are. See, the track I was on before I got saved, wrong track, wrong road. And the problem was, I didn't know who I was. Are you out there? I was lost, didn't know God. And so I was just doing what, you know, everybody did. I did what everybody said I did. I was who what everybody said I was. I was who I thought I was. But I began to find it in God, I was somebody else. When I got alone with God, He began to reveal to me that I was not who I used to be.
Amen. Yes.
He touched me and changed me and made me into somebody else. Made me what I was supposed to be, see. See, sometimes we have the wrong picture of who we are. We have the wrong picture because everybody's telling us who we are. And we think we know who we are. And we lived our life, a short life or a long life or whatever. But until you get with God, I submit to you, there are some things that without God you're never going to find out. Why do you need an encounter with God? Why do you need God in your life? For one thing, you need God to find out who you are.
Praise God.
You need God to find out what you can do. You need God to find out what you really have. You know, the Scripture says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. An encounter with God changes you. If you're a Christian, you're a believer, you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are not who you used to be. Pure and simple. And the question would be, well, who am I? Well, get with God and find out who you are.
Yeah.
Amen? Spend some time with God and find out your identity. Whew. It took God to bring out of me who I really was. Now get this. I was born again. I'd gotten saved. But it was in that time of praying and time of seeking God and time of getting in His Word, I began to find out who I was. It was there, but it never came out. My identity was not really revealed to me when I got saved. That was just the start of it. He had to teach me. He had to bring it alive to me. He had to bring it out of me. And I began to see that I wasn't who I always thought I was. See, some Christians are still in that state. You know, they're still kind of, they're saved, they're born again, they're going to heaven. But they still think they're who they used to be. And so when something happens, they act like they used to act. Are you out there? Well, God doesn't want us to do that anymore. He wants us to act like, be true to ourselves, who we really are, born again, washed in the blood. And as we spend time with God and spend time and have an encounter with God, as it were, God will bring out of us and reveal to us who we really are. I love that because I didn't just find God when I got saved and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I found out who I really was.
Yeah.
See, the devil been lying to me all my life. I was going to hell and didn't know it. Lost and didn't know God loved me. Didn't know He cared for me. Didn't know I had a future. Didn't know I had a destiny and a hope. In my case, I didn't know I was going to be a pastor. Are you kidding? I was just glad to be saved once I got saved. But God brought something out of me that was in there that I had no idea. If I hadn't spent time with Him, I'd have never found it out. If I'd never come to church, if I'd never read my Bible, if I'd never prayed, if I'd never sought Him, I'd never found out who I really was and what I was really born to do. Now, not everybody's going to be a pastor, not everybody's going to be a teacher, but you know, God's given you gifts and He's given you abilities and you know, He may give you a talent or something, but you find that as you spend time with God. You find that as you continually stay in the Word. God has this ability you just don't have. It's the ability to reveal you to you. He doesn't just reveal Himself, He reveals you to you. T.L. Osborne said this years ago. T.L. Osborne was a great evangelist, revivalist. Is that my water?
Mm-hmm.
And don't y'all wish y'all were a pastor? You need to have water and everything. All the perks up here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That hot light beaming.
That hot light, yeah, beaming on me. But T.L. Osborne went to India, had some crusades, and fell right on his face. Didn't work. Nothing happened. And he went back defeated, went back home. And as he tells this story, he says he began to seek God and pray about this situation. What's the deal, God? I've gone over here. I preached Your Word. I stood up there. I had got the platform, you know, and gave invitation. Nothing happened. No moves, no miracles, nothing. And he's reading through the Scripture. And he's just reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He said, you know, I had no problem reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, see Jesus rise up out of the pages and see the a miracle worker, the Son of God, you know, the one that healed the sick, raised dead, cast out devils, the one that walked the shores of Galilee in the streets of Capernaum, watched Him forgive sinners and give to the poor and help and bless and heal and lift and blind eyes pop open. I saw Jesus on every page. I saw Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He said, but as I began to seek God, as I began to pray, all of a sudden, I saw another man begin to rise up out of those scriptures, and his name was T.L. Osborne. I began to see that God raised me up to help people and to bless people. And the Jesus that had come up out of those pages had changed me, and he was living in me. Are you with me? And he said, until I saw me come up out of those scriptures, I never made any difference. He said, I went back to India with a fire in my spirit. I went back to India with a new identity. I went back to India knowing who I was, and the miracles began to happen, and people began to get saved, and they came by the thousands. It's a wonderful testimony. But it's what I'm saying here is it was an encounter with God. It was time with God that caused T.L. Osborne to see who he was. He had no trouble seeing who Jesus was. He's the Son of the living God. He's God in the flesh. He's our Savior, our Lord. He's the one that conquered hell, death, and the grave and rose victorious. And the tomb is empty. And now he sits at the right hand of God. He's the soon coming King, King of kings and Lord of lords. Woo! Amen. No problem seeing him. But what we fail many times is to see who we are. And it takes God to reveal that to us. Amen. To know what manner of man we are. Yes. James talked about it in the third chapter. James, he talks about men that went out and, you know, they read the Word and they walked out and they didn't do the Word. They're like a man looking in a mirror. He said, be a doer of the Word, not hearers only. Second chapter, excuse me, James. Be a doer of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I think I got that right. It's in the Bible. Okay. It's one of the books in there somewhere. And he said, he that goes, you know, out, and it's like a man looking in the mirror and walks out and he forgets what manner of man he is. Let's don't forget who we are. Let's find out who we are. And let's be true to who we are. And see, from this moment forward, you know, we don't have any record of Jacob ever deceiving anybody after this. Not one time. He comes clean with his brother. He bows down, repents. His brother forgives him. He never deceives another person that we're aware of after this encounter right here. Jacob now is Israel. I love it. He's not a schemer. That's what he'd been told all of his life. That's who he thought he was. But he had an encounter with God and he found out who he really was. Oh, hallelujah. See, some things you just can't get on your own.
That's right.
And the main thing you can't get on your own, you can't get an identity on your own. You don't know who you are without him. I found out who I was when I found Jesus. And I'm finding out more and more who I am. What I was made to be. What I was birthed to be. What I was born to be. What I was destined to be. Hallelujah. And you were destined to win. We are born and designed by God to win. But we're programmed to fail. This world programs us to fail. Are you with me? We buy the lie. The devil lies to us. We condemn ourselves. We beat ourselves over the head. We destroy our dreams and our future. We stay in the wilderness of our, you know, inferiority and all these things. And God wants to bring us out of that wilderness into the promised land. Hallelujah. Mm. And God can do it. You know, I read this, and just a side note, T.D. Jakes talked about the man at the gate, beautiful, in Acts, the third chapter. And he said this man was born lame from his mother's womb. Acts, third chapter, second verse. I know I got that one right. And they laid him down daily by this gate. Of course, Peter and John came by. You know the story. And they saw this man laying at the gate asking for alms. And Peter looked steadfastly upon him. He says, look upon me. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. He took him by his right hand, jerked him up. And boy, strength came into his legs. And he leaped and he shouted and he danced. And I mean, they had church. That's what we call church. As opposed to just having church, that was church. There's a difference, you know. Different. But T.D. Jakes was talking about that. He says, you know, many people, many men are like that. The gate was beautiful. It's a beautiful gate. They call it the gate beautiful. He said, many people are like that man, lame. They're the gate beautiful. They're a beautiful gate, but they got an ugly problem. Ugly problem. That keeps them at the gate. And he said, many of us are stuck at the gate. By law, he couldn't even go in. See, he couldn't go in because he was lame, and you couldn't legally, under Judaism or Judaistic law, if you were a Jew, you couldn't walk in. You couldn't go in because you were crippled. You couldn't go beyond the gate. He said, there are people in churches today, men in churches today, that know what time the church starts, know what time it stops. They got their hands in the air when the song starts. They've heard altar call after altar call after altar call, but they are stuck at the gate because of some problem they have never let go. And they never entered in, never come on in and got the blessing and got the full potential of what God has in store for them. We got to quit being stuck at the gate, letting our past hold us from entering in. Letting our past keep us from fulfilling and experiencing the promises of God. I mean, many people go to church, they come and they go through all the motions, but you see, they're not really entering in. They're kind of stuck at the gate. Are you stuck at the gate? That's what he's talking about. I don't want to be stuck at the gate. I want to come right on in. There's something God has for me, something God has for you. There's a future he has for you. There's a hope and a destiny he has for you. Life is more than what you see out here. It's more than what you're... pea brain tells you it is. It is what God says it is. And it takes God to do that. It takes God to reveal that to you. It takes God to show you who you are. I need God because without Him, I don't even know who I am. I don't have enough sense to get in out of the rain. I spend my life shooting myself in the foot without God. Sure, I mean, really, you know, we found the enemy. He's us. Well, God wants to change that and say, look, come out of that. Hey, Genesis. You there? Turn to Genesis 2. Oh, now, you're going to love this. You're going to love this. I don't know if you're ready for this. I don't even know if I ought to share this with you. Okay, I will. I guess I will. Y'all really want to hear this? Okay, all right. Okay. This is, you know, of course God made Adam. Adam was not a dummy. You know, we get the idea that was kind of unfair. Why'd Adam get such a bad rap for eating that mango? Everybody knows a mango because man eat mango. Okay. He just ate the mango. You know, his wife handed it to him. He ate it. I mean, what's the big deal? Oh, Adam wasn't a dummy. Okay, let's don't get this confused about Adam. Adam's a lot smarter than you are, a lot smarter than I am. God put him over all the earth. Over all creation. And God allowed him to name all the animals. And whatever Adam named them, that's what they were. Adam wasn't a dummy. No. He had full knowledge. In fact, Paul tells Timothy, he's talking about marriage. He talks about Adam's the one that sinned in the sense that he knew what he was doing.
That's right.
Eve was deceived, but Adam wasn't.
That's right.
Adam was fully aware of the sin that he committed. But here we see Adam was created and he was made, of course, in God's image. And he named all these animals, and you know, as he's going through the process of naming all these animals, 20th verse, so Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds there, to every beast of the field. For Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him, not a helpmeet for him, King James says. So in all of creation, man's best friend wasn't a dog, I can tell you that. Dogs are nice. I'm for dogs. Don't get me wrong. I'll run out of here and say I'm against dogs. I got several dogs in my house. If you want a couple, come talk to me. But anyway. But it says, for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept and he took one of his ribs and he closed up the flesh in its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this now bone, my bones, flesh, my flesh, you should be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, they should become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. There wasn't any sin then at that time. And they were unashamed. But I think it's significant here, a couple things. I believe that God has given you as a Christian, as a believer, everything that you need to fulfill your life. I really do believe that. I believe that He's given us exceeding great and precious promises. But by those promises, He told Peter that, or Peter told us, you know, that we could partake of every good thing. Every good thing. Those promises are exceeding great and precious promises. Through them, we can live right. We can find fulfillment. We can find peace. We can find joy. It's all in here. It's all there. Just like Adam. Just follow the picture here. It was all there. Adam had everything in him that he needed to not be lonely, to be fulfilled, as it were, but it took God to bring it out of him. Are you with me?
Yes.
And if you don't have an encounter with God and you don't spend time with God, as a Christian, as a believer, you have everything you need to make it. You have everything in you to make it through life. Whatever the situation, I believe that God has an answer and a hope. And I know we're going to have problems. I know we're a broken, fallen world. There's still going to be tragedy and loss. I understand that. But fulfillment and completion and joy and purpose, all that is deep down in our spirit. It's right. It's there. God put it all in us. I mean, we are all the spiritual blessings of heaven are in us in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. But without God, you can't bring it out. Without spending time with God, you can't bring it out. And with all your intellect and all your wisdom and the natural and all your smarts, as it were, and Adam was smart, he named all the animals, but he still couldn't figure out how he was going to have purpose and how he could not be alone and how he could be fulfilled and complete. In fact, God had put him to sleep, shut his mind down, shut his reasoning down, and then let God work, and God did a work and pulled out of him what he had placed in him. But it never would have come out of him if he hadn't allowed God to do the work. Boy, there's a teaching there. I don't know if you're getting this. You and I have God in us. God put it in us. All that we need. To live good, live life. To be who we're supposed to be. But if we don't spend time with God, we're never going to find it.
That's right.
See, you don't know who you are without an encounter with God.
Yeah.
Hello. And you'll never be complete and whole without spending time with God. Man, that's good stuff.
Amen.
But God brings stuff out of me. I'd never seen it. Are you kidding me? I remember when God called me to teach. I said, no way. No way, I can't do that. I mean, I never will forget that. It was 1976. That's when he called me to teach. I've been saved 1 year. See, I didn't see that in me, but he did. He had it. He put it in me.
Yeah.
But he had to pull it out of me. And I had to trust him to do that. I had to finally say, yes, Lord, okay, yeah, okay, I'll let you do that. You go right ahead. I figured out, real great revelation, I figured out he was God, I'm not.
Sweet.
That's a big revelation. Another one is I figured out he's smarter than I am. I figured that out last year. Hello. That's the greatest revelation you ever get a hold of, you know, is that God is smarter than you are. He really is. But in spending time with him and the Word, I read the Bible every day. I mean, I read the Bible every day, come to church. I try to get here every time the door opens. Of course, I'm the pastor. I kind of need to be here. But I mean, I did that before, you know, I became a pastor. But the reason I keep coming is because I'm starting to see it now. Lester Summerall was 75 years old. I was there in Victoria, Texas. He was ministering on a Tuesday night, I think. And I was preaching on a Wednesday. We weren't on the same ticket, but I always like to say, hey, I preach the next night, you know. But when he turned 75, he was at Victoria, Texas, and Gary Upham was the pastor of that church. Right now, Jim Graff, Brother Osteen's son-in-law, and daughter Tamara pastor that work. But Lester got up, and if you just have to know Lester Summerall, he's just a gruff, straightforward statesman. I just loved him. I could listen to Lester all day long. I mean, he was a mentor. I just loved listening to Lester Summerall. He's bold, you know, totally different Brother Osteen. Brother Osteen was bold too, but in a different way. But he got up and he said, well, people ask me, I'm 75 years old, and people ask me, when are you going to retire? I said, retire? I just figured out what I'm doing, what I want to retire now for. And there was some truth to that. You know, he finally got old enough, he figured out what he was doing. I think if you spend enough time with God, you'll finally figure out what you're doing. But it takes a lifetime. It takes years. Hang in there. You'll find out who you are. It'll become more clear, clearer and clearer. One day when you go to heaven, all the blinders will be taken off. Woo, the light will shine. The fog will dissipate. Man, I'll tell you, you'll step into light. You'll step into revelation. You'll find not only Jesus and see Him for who He is, but you'll see yourself fully and completely. Now you know in part, but then you'll know as you are known. Now you see through glass darkly. Then you'll see face to face. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God for revelation. Thank God for revelation knowledge. But it doesn't come cheap. It doesn't come just by the flick of a wand. This is not magic time, all right? This is not Cinderella. I mean, you're not going to have rats turn into coachmen and pumpkins turn into coaches. As you seek God, He'll begin to touch you and the anointing will come on you and you'll be revealed. He'll be revealed and you will be revealed. Hallelujah. And He'll reach into you into the depths of your spirit and He'll bring out of you things. Bring out of you things that were there all the time that He placed in there by His Spirit. But it takes Him to bring it out. And if you don't spend time with Him, you'll never see it. He'll never be able to do that. You've got to sit back, fall down, sleep, and rest at His feet. That's why we need to spend time with God. I remember a burst of passion, excitement. That came on Mo when Dr. Budge prophesied. You remember that? I mean, you love God. I mean, you're excited, always fired up. But that was like a, man, like another level, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, when He prophesied over you.
Yeah. When He expected.
Oh, man. I mean, you just see the Holy Ghost came and moved. And all of a sudden, woo, man. And I think you're doing it now, that food ministry. My goodness. Just awesome. What's going on there? But see, we need God, those encounters with God. And that doesn't have to come through a word. Stay with me. It doesn't have to come through a prophecy. It doesn't have to come through someone laying hands on you. I just mentioned that. It can come. God doesn't have to speak to you in some far off place. God is very near. God is here. The kingdom of God's within you. We just got to get it out of us. I need God to dig in there deep. And get that out. Because I covered it up. You know, covered it up through inferiority. Covered it up through guilt. Covered it up maybe through blaming everybody, you know. Blaming parents, blaming my, you know, my upbringing, or blaming the, you know, a million things. You blame the government, blame your color of your skin, blame anything you want to. As long as you play the blame game, you're always going to be stuck at the gate. Hello. Throw all that stuff away and let God dig that stuff out of you, that good stuff, that rich, deep stuff. That anointing, that blessing, that call, that value. That worth, those gifts He put in you. You were something. I'll tell you what. You cost the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You did not come cheap. Don't ever let anybody tell you you're not worth anything. Don't let anybody lie to you and tell you that you don't count and you don't have purpose and you're not like everybody else. Well, thank God you're not like everybody else. You weren't meant to be like everybody else. You're unique and you're God's one and only. And you're the only one who can do what God's called you to do. You're the only one that has the gifts and the personality and the talents and the demeanor that you have. You're the only one. There's nobody else like you. Nobody else like you. You know, if you really examine snowflakes, they're really different. But when you put them all together, it's amazing what happens when all those flakes get together. It's kind of what church is, isn't it? It's when all those flakes get together.
Wow.
And something beautiful happens. Because we're all unique. Not as flaky as we thought we were. But it took God to bring it all out, though. Yeah, it took God. And you know, a lot of it comes alive when we hook up with each other, too. Because that's the will of God, see? Talk about just getting along with God and encounters with God. But you have to rub shoulders with God's people, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what church is about. It's bringing out your gifts and your talents. Everybody is different. Thank God for it. Hallelujah. We need everybody. I'm glad you're not all like me. I know you're probably glad too, but anyway, I'm just saying. Now, don't think that if you're single, you're going to lay down to sleep and wake up with a woman all of a sudden. I'm just talking about the analogy, the picture there is that God brings out of us things that only He can. But they're things that are in us. God's not going to create some fulfillment, some completion for you. He already did it. He did it when you were born again.
Amen.
Okay? God's not like all of a sudden give you some kind of gifts you didn't have. You had it. It's there. It's been there all that time. But He has to bring it out of you. And that's why you need to spend time with God. Find out who you are and to be fulfilled so you can get those things out of you that God's put in you.